This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford is Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. The man of the hour is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is aboard, and Ira's out at One Buck Palace, and he has been talking to all kinds of people today. A lot of great nuggets through this podcast. Sit back. If you've missed our previous episodes, catch up. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, all kinds of platforms, and right there at JoeBucksFan.com. But as we mentioned, Bill Curry Ford, don't mess around. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally, and that includes service, that includes the body shop. He just wants to help you. He'll talk to you like your Bucks fan brother, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can find Sean. His email is right there on the staff, and you can reach out to him or just call him up or pop into the showroom. Gorgeous new showroom and so much more. Great things are coming there. The Bill Curry Ford, the Giant, as they're nicknamed, returns in 2023. But you can find Sean and ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. Ask him whatever you need to ask him. And, of course, you can order a vehicle, and he's going to give you $500 in gift cards to do it. And no deposit. It's all made easy with their concierge system there. BillCurryFord.com. Check it out. And Florida's Elite Restoration, they have $500 off for Ira Kaufman podcast listeners and Joe Bucks fan readers as well. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's who you call when you have a disaster in your home or at your business, and they'll give you a free assessment at your property, what's happening, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, they'll give you that free assessment 24/7. If you want to move forward with their services, say, hey, Josh Martin, owner of Florida's Elite Restoration, I want that Joe Bucks fan discount. They'll give you $500. They'll write it into the agreement, and maybe you use that for your deductible. Maybe it's just a cash payment for your services, whatever you need, mold, whatever it is. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Bookmark it, so when you need them, they're there. Family-owned, trustworthy, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Okay, Ira and Lee DeCamp are out at One Buck today, and the podcast has been edited. So it's smooth, it's quick, it's fiery. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. And we've got another podcast this week. And of course, the Buccaneers have their game Saturday night, preseason opener at Raymond James Stadium against the Dolphins. Joint practices on Wednesday and Thursday. So I'm going to kick it out to Lee DeCamper. And they were chatting in the stands there. Little background noise, mowers, landscapers, all kinds of stuff going on. But plenty here and plenty of quiet as well. Enjoy.
If people are hearing lawnmowers in the background, we're not in Ira's backyard with the landscapers working. We're outside One Buck Palace, right in front of the practice
field. The fans have gone home, Lee.
Yeah, fans have gone home. The women of red are off to whatever they do.
They've dispersed.
So if you hear lawnmowers in the background or machinery, that's what's going on.
You talked to Chucky's agent, who also just happens to be Jason Light's agent. You got some pretty good intel. And just for those who didn't read it, well, you really should read it, but give us some background how you came across getting an opportunity to talk to Lamont. Bob Lamont is the man's name, and some of the insight that you learned, and maybe some insight that you didn't write about, but you can, you know, fill us in on, you know, talking to the man.
Lee, I go back 20 years with Bob Lamont, and it goes back to the when John Gruden became head coach of the Buccaneers, which was February 2002, replacing a guy named Father Dungy in your lexicon. And when Gruden had his first press conference in Tampa, there was Bob Lamont, curly hair and all, introducing himself as Gruden's agent. This Lamont is a very savvy guy, Lee. He's a former history professor.
Oh, wow.
And he runs into a guy named Mike Holmgren way back when, and Holmgren convinces him to be his representative. And that's how it all started. And Lee, while all these hundreds of other agents are fighting over players and college prospects who can get their hooks into the top quarterback in the draft, Lamont says, I'm not going after players. I want head coaches, young aspiring coaches, assistants, and general managers, and young executives that are going to be general managers. And he builds a cottage industry, got 9 head coaches, 13 general managers, He had Mark Dominic, and now he's got Light, and now he's got John Spytek, who Lamont and everybody in the Buck organization is convinced is going to be a general manager, maybe as soon as next year.
What about this Greenberg?
I don't know if he's got Greenberg, but he should, because Greenberg's going places. Lee. And, of course, he's got Gruden, and currently he's got Sean McVay, who was a great land.
Oh, really?
That was a great land for him. Andy Reid, you know, for 25 years, Andy Reid, and the Reid tree, you know. So Lamont's a big, big power broker behind the scenes. He doesn't talk a lot, Lee. So, you know, I talk to him every once in a while, and he happened to mention that he was coming to Tampa to have dinner with Spytek, to have dinner with Light.
Ah.
And to have dinner with Gruden and his wife on three consecutive nights in Tampa.
He says, hey, come over to the Renaissance over by, you know, the mall,
International Mall. We had breakfast.
I'm going to tell you what he had for breakfast. Lee, he'll tell you everything you need to know about Bob Lamont.
Eggs Benedict.
He had a cup of coffee. He had chocolate milk, like he's 6 years old.
And he had a side of bacon. There's my man Lamont. I'm over there loading up. I got the bagel with the cream cheese, the smoked salmon. And lucky I didn't have a couple of eggs over there. So anyway, I asked him about Spytek. And of course, you know, he talked up the guy like you would think he would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him about Light. And he talked about what a job Light has done. He made an interesting point that in 2019, which was Winston's last year, the Bucks made a lot of strides that year. And even though Winston threw 30 picks, they were on the cusp of a playoff berth. So it was a very interesting point by Lamont, because normally 30 picks buries you and you end up 5-11, and the Bucks didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance to go 9-7 going into those last two games. So he thought that was the great renaissance of Jason Light, was really starting maybe 2018, 2019, building the core, and then Brady puts the topping on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not all Brady. And he's right. It's not all Brady.
And Brady has actually said that Bucs defense won that game at the Saints in the playoffs.
That's right. And for instance, Lee, you know, suppose the Bucs had Matt Ryan last year instead of Tom Brady. They wouldn't have been as good. But instead of 13 wins, maybe they go 11-6. They're still going to make the playoffs because it's a talented roster.
Sure.
You can't give Brady all the credit. Then I knew I was going to ask him about John Gruden and what he's going through. And by the way, Lee, I'll throw this out to our audience. I spent some time with Gruden himself last week.
You did?
I did. I spent some time with him. And he's doing
better. Did he pick up the check?
No, it was in his office.
So you didn't have to lunge.
No, there was no lunging. When I walked in, again, I've been there before, room totally dark. The only light is from the computer screen. And what's Chucky doing? He's watching film.
Wow.
He's watching film. So, you know, he always greets me nice, and we spend a little time together, and he's not as bitter as he was, but he's still bitter.
Yeah.
And as Lamont says, they're going to have to settle that suit, otherwise the NFL is going to look very bad. He said that Gruden, I want to straighten this out, Lee, because a lot of people ran with our story from Joe Bucks fan on the Lamont quotes, Lee, you know, starting with Mike Florio, and then it trickled down to other outlets. And Florio, when Lamont said, I think he's going to coach again. He didn't say in the NFL, Lee. And I think Florio kind of assumed that Lamont was talking. He didn't say that.
And most people would assume that.
And most people would assume that. But, Lee, it's going to be hard in the NFL. It's going to be hard.
You don't think you can get a college job, do you?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Because, if you're a mom and you know what he said in those emails, how are you going to let your kid?
I understand.
That's going to be a hell of a sales job.
But if another year goes by, you know, Lee, guys resurrect themselves. Lee.
That's true. Heals all wounds.
Time heals. So, Spytek might not be here next year. Tom Brady might not be here. By the way, one of our visitors today was Ben Volen from the Boston Globe.
Ah.
And he's one of the guys, there were about three or four of them, that were going very, very, very strong 6 months ago about this Brady Dolphins stuff with Sean Payton. Volen was right in the middle of it.
They were on the scent.
So I saw him today. I said, you feel vindicated, Ben? He goes, all right, I knew we had the goods on it. And,
wow.
And it turns out they were right. Yeah. Now, I would have liked to have talked to Tom Brady today. We're out here at training camp.
And can we say, well, how can we say this? You and I were tipped off that Brady may not speak until the regular season. Is that correct? Can I say that?
It's hard to believe, Lee. It's hard to believe.
Actually, no.
That would be a month. He'd go a month without talking. And the team's out here all the time.
Brady is Brady. He's an international superstar.
As you said it, Brady's Brady.
And
Brady rules. The Brady rules.
And he knows if he talks this week, next week, whatever, whenever he does talk, he's going to get hit with questions about Miami. And he obviously doesn't want to have to deal with that. So,
and speaking about Brady, the player, Lee, you're probably like me. You say underwear football, and I don't disagree with you for the most part. But, man, does he throw a beautiful ball.
He does. Like,
he throws a beautiful ball.
He does not look 45 at all. I mean, he slings that thing. Whew. Now, here's something I learned today. I was talking to Levante Day today, and Levante was saying, you know, he had told Steve in a previous article we had on JoeBucksFan.com that he was expecting Brady to come up to him and break him down. Just background. Levante, in the first week and a half, had two picks on Brady. And Levante David told Steve that he fully expected Brady at some point to break him down. What did you see? What, you know, he wanted a whole ball of wax. Well, Brady did do that. And he was telling me what Brady was asking him and things of that nature. And I kept thinking, does that sound like a guy who wants to retire? Would you waste your time, all the accolades and the triumphs that you've had in your career, that you would still take that time to talk to a defensive player and want a full breakdown on what he was seeing, what he was reading, how he reacted, et cetera, et cetera? That doesn't sound like a guy that's going to retire.
What an insight into the Brady psyche that is, Lee. How many guys would do that? Maybe a rookie would do that, Lee, because he hasn't seen a lot of coverages. This guy's seen everything. You know what Brady's thinking, Lee? Brady's thinking that if I get the breakdown from David with the details, it's all about the details,
mm-hmm.
that might help me one or two plays during the regular season.
Which could be a
and
game.
And that's all he's thinking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could make the difference between a win.
Yes.
And that's Brady.
And maybe a playoff win.
That is Brady. Lee, talking, got some Buck juice today from people in the know. And this is not going to surprise you in the least, Lee. Robert Hainsey, to this point, going into the first preseason game and going into scrimmages when he'll actually be hitting some other guys. And I think that's going to be very refreshing for Hainsey.
Yes.
And the Bucks. All signs are positive. All signs are positive. Now, Lee, I'll say it again. He hasn't played center except in practices last year with the Bucks, but the bullets weren't flying.
Yeah, they were like, a handful of plays and a blowout win?
1 week in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. So it's a heck of a transition.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, if he pulls it off, all credit to Hainsey. So far, the reports are very good.
Yeah, I've spoken with several people, including there's like two or three. I haven't transcribed the notes yet. I've talked to many players who you don't really expect to say, nah, he's not going to get the job done. But I've talked to several assistant coaches, including both offensive line coaches. I've spoken with people who work in the front office. They're strong, and I do mean strong support. One of the offensive line coaches, I thought he was going to jump at me. I mean, in a good way. You know, I asked him about Haynes. He said, he works his ass off. And Steve told me a similar story about a similar coach that said that. You know, very strong support for Haynes. It's almost to the point that I'm thinking it's so emotional these guys get about Haynes. I'm almost thinking that these guys will go to light if Haynes ends up not getting a chance and chewing light out. I mean, there was very strong, emotional, vocal support for Hainsey. The only thing I can think of, he must have showed him something last year while he was on the scout team going against Vita Vea. The assistant coaches, holy cow, they're like right behind him. So last year, Hainsey was the scout center against the first team defense. He was going up against Vea and Sue, and that's, I guess, when the Bucks hierarchy opened their eyes. Like, whoa, we might have something here.
You know, Lee, 10 days into camp, the battle for center is over.
You think so?
There's no battle. Barring an injury to Hainsey.
Mm-hmm.
And barring him falling apart in the preseason, you would have to think he's going to line up against Dallas. However, I don't know what the heck to say at this point about left guard. I really don't, Lee. I think
it's Stinney.
You think it's Stinney? I thought a month ago that it would be Stinney's to lose, but you got a second-round pick. Leverett's hanging around. You would think it'd be Stinney, but there is more competition at left guard than there is at center, Lee.
That's true. There is. The reason why I think it's Stinney, just from hearing the last few days, Harold Goodwin, you know, the Bucks offensive line coach, run game coordinator, he basically came out and said, Getke needs, he's fine on the run. He needs some work on the pass protection.
That's a blinking light. That line.
I agree. Yeah. That's a red light, or at least a caution light, yellow light. And then Goodwin threw in the fact that, you know, hey, he was a right tackle all through his career. Now he's on the other side playing guard. He's basically learning a brand new position. So I think my gist, it's Stinney. And then Getke's going to be ready maybe halfway through the season, certainly next year. But I just don't get the impression he's going to be ready for week one.
A couple of things I've heard on the defensive side of the ball. Hicks looks very good. Hicks looks healthy. And Lee, you and I had no problem with replacing Sue with Hicks as long as Hicks is healthy.
Yes.
That's the question. I'm also hearing that Logan Hall, he's living up to his hype.
Is that right?
Yeah. Good pass rusher.
And I know you talked to, run.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hearing, Lee. Maybe a better pass rusher than the Bucs anticipated.
Oh, really?
Versatile. Plan is for him to make a major contribution. And Tryon's looking better. More disciplined. Big opportunity for Joe Tryon.
I've heard they streamlined his responsibilities. That he's not going to be bouncing around.
I think that's smart.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's smart.
Let his talent flow.
Yes.
Less thinking, more playing.
That's exactly what I heard. They don't want him to think.
And that's the way you look at me when I'm a columnist. Don't think, Ira. Just write.
I was going to say when you hit the buffet. I suspect, if it hasn't already been done, you know, Bowles and the Dolphins people, they get together either by Zoom or by phone call. Here's what I want. Can you guys do this for me? And in turn, you know, they'll ask Bowles, hey, can you know, for our receiver, can you put him in double coverage? It's all set up. It's all scripted.
It's called professional courtesy.
Yes, yes, yes. I suspect this, but I want your feedback. Do you expect the next 2 days when the Dolphins are out here, a lot is going to be set up to test Hainsey?
You would think so from a Buck perspective. Throw the book at him.
Mm-hmm.
Blitz him inside. But the Dolphin coaches have their own agendas, too.
Like, oh, sure. It's not like, yeah.
And they want to look at their young players.
Yeah.
So when those two things coincide, which I think they will, hey, we got an inside linebacker. I want to see if he can be a blitzer. And that fits right into what the Bucs are looking for in terms of Hainsey with blitz pickup. You know, that's a perfect marriage. Mm-hmm.
Big Storm Beer, that is Florida's best craft beer and the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Brewed locally, local tap rooms in Clearwater on 49th Street in Odessa, right in Newport Richey area there by Trinity, off State Road 54 on Success Drive, in Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, and soon in Ybor City. BigStormBrewery.com. Check out the menu. The food will blow your mind. Follow them on social media. They've got live music at most locations. Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Beer is in your stores, all kinds of locations. Go to BigStormBrewery.com to punch in your zip code, and you'll find where to buy Big Storm Beer near you. Get the Bromosa, that's their top seller, Tangerine IPA. It is flawless. You'll be glad you did. And the Wavemaker Amber Ale is their original. They've got so many great beers, the Palm Bender IPA. Just go to BigStormBrewery.com, see all the beers. Big Storm Beers, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast.
And Lee, one quick thing about the O-line again. I was on a Zoom call this morning talking about some senior candidates. We're having a Zoom call next week to pick the three senior candidates that are probably going to end up with a gold jacket. So that's a big responsibility. I'm presenting Bob Kuchenberg. But today we were talking about Joe Klecko from the Jets. Heck of a player. And there was a Zoom call set up with guys like Dwight Stevenson and Joe DeLaMalore and Howie Long. And before the thing started, I said to Howie, I said, hey, Howie, I'm at Buck training camp. How are they going to be this year? And I said, hey, they're replacing three interior offensive linemen. And I didn't mention that Shaq Mason, you know, we don't have any concerns about Shaq Mason.
No.
But the fact is, they're going to have three new interior linemen with the injury to Hainsey, to Jensen, until and if he comes back. And Howie Long said it. Now, Lee, we've talked about it, but Howie Long said it. You got the GOAT back there, and the one thing the GOAT doesn't like is inside pressure. He could have been talking about Drew Brees. He could have been talking about a lot of guys that are not particularly mobile. Matt Ryan might fit in that category. It ain't Lamar Jackson. So it's Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the history of Tom Brady. When he gets in trouble, it's the inside pressure. He can handle the outside. He can step up. He also said that the Bucs take very good care of Brady over the years.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been knocked around very much. But Lee, if we needed, you know, any verification, it is a concern going into the season about how these three communicate. They don't have the continuity up front, which this was a heck of an offensive line the past two seasons front of Brady. Very good.
Well, a quick interjection. Brady had the fewest sacks last year.
And threw the most passes. Like,
yep, 731.
That's a heck of a ratio. That's a heck of a ratio.
You can't get any better.
So I'm not knocking Hainsey. I'm not knocking Shaq Mason. And I'm not knocking whoever wins the left guard job, Lee. But the fact is, they're three new guys playing together. And maybe in the beginning of the season, they're going to have to work some things out. I think that's fair to say.
I don't know if I'm saying I'm breaking some news here, but I'll just tell you what I heard. It can't be breaking news unless you can confirm it. That I can't confirm this, but I was told by someone with the Bucks, I won't even say what they do for a living, but this person talked to Jensen last week, and this guy thought Jensen was in Indianapolis. Now, why would you be in Indianapolis when you could barely walk? I could understand if he was home in Colorado.
Get another opinion.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I asked the guy that. Is he getting a second opinion? And the guy said, well, I'm not sure. But he was in Indianapolis.
Why wouldn't he, Lee? Why wouldn't
Oh, yeah. If you're getting a second opinion, that tells me that a return this season has yet to be ruled out. It may not be good, but it has been ruled out.
I think you're accurate about that.
Do the math. He's not at home in Colorado. He's not at home in Tampa. Last week, I take no joy in saying this. In fact, I was hoping this would not happen. And if anything, I'm disappointed in Trask. Oh, he was horrible last week. However, at least today, he looked like he belonged. He looked relaxed. Last week, and I kind of hinted this on Twitter, I thought we were on the verge of watching Rick Ankiel. And if people don't know who Rick Ankiel was, he was a pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals, a Florida guy who was excellent. I mean, excellent talent, you name it. And he had a complete meltdown on the mound in the playoffs, and it was the end of his career.
You started thinking, I don't know if Trask is going to make this football team. That's the way you were thinking.
I was thinking it's a legitimate question if he could beat out Ryan Griffin. He was that bad last week. And this week he looked better, but I thought he was going to pull a Rick Ankiel because I thought it was in his head. I actually put out on Twitter, this guy's rattled. That's the exact word I used, rattled. I used that word on JoeBucksFan.com. There were three plays in a row he went back to pass, and all three plays he took off running. And that was after having one of the most ghastly pick sixes a human being has ever seen. And I'm like, this guy's rattled. And I'm not the only person who had the same observation.
But today was better.
Much better. Right now, he looked like at least a third stringer. The first week, I thought he could compete with Gabbert as a backup. And last week, Gabbert improved, and Trask almost like he fell off the ledge. And so there was a big separation right now. No one that's been watching practice will say Trask is a backup. But today, no, he may not have been a number two backup. Gabbert's actually improved, by the way. Trask.
But he looked like he belonged.
Yeah. He looked like he belonged. He looked relaxed. You know, Steve's even picked up on this. His body language is off. I saw Leftwich today. He was talking to Trask, and Trask was going out in the huddle. And as Trask was starting to leave, Leftwich walked with him with his arm around him. So, and Leftwich has really been hands-on with Trask from what I've seen. But he looks a lot more, whatever they told him in the day off. They told him to go out and get drunk. They told him to go out with his girlfriend. I don't know what they told him, but he looked significantly more relaxed, his body language.
And we're going to get a long look at Trask in the preseason.
Now, Ira, what are you looking to see Saturday night?
Well, I'm looking at the suck up. As long as he doesn't screw up, I think he's got the job.
Okay.
The suck up doesn't screw up. I'm looking at Logan Hall. I think they'll get a look at him. I want to see Hicks play a couple of series, which he will. I'm looking at Keanu O'Neill.
Oh, but you think Hicks will start?
I think he needs to play. I just think Hicks needs to play.
You think even injury prone, you want to put him
out there? Yeah, I want him out there.
Okay.
Because I want to prove that he's in shape. I want to look at Keanu O'Neill. Lee, I think it's easy to forget that when he was a Falcon, this goes back a ways, he was considered one of the top young safeties in football.
Mm-hmm.
A physical guy who was smart enough not to draw penalties like, who was that guy that the Bucks got off the 49ers? Goldson?
Deshaun Goldson?
Yeah. He never made the adjustment, Lee, with the rules. But Keanu O'Neill knew the rules, and he was very savvy about walking that line. Then the injuries hit Neal. Neal needs to play. Neal needs to show his legs are back.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So I'm looking at him a little bit, and with Hainsey and Gedeky, and some of those fringe receivers. I don't know if you call them fringe. Scotty Miller, you got to show something.
Yeah.
Darden, you got to show something.
Please return a kick.
Perryman, you got to show something.
I don't even know if Perryman will dress. He's still in bucket hat patrol here at practice.
I don't necessarily have to look at Julio Jones. Not necessarily.
No, I agree. So,
what are you going to be looking for?
I'm not really, well, okay, I was all play along. I was going to say I ain't looking for a damn thing. But I would like to see Hainsey do good. I would like to see Rashad White do good. Rashad White, I got to say it properly, Rashad White is getting so many snaps. And you know what? End of the third week of training camp, if you're getting a lot of snaps the first team, that means you're showing something. That means they're testing you. And the other day, Harold Goodwin said one reason why they're seeing White get a lot of snaps the first team, he's blocking well in pass protection. That's why Ronald Jones isn't here.
He wasn't known for that in college necessarily, Lee.
Not that I know of, no. And when you have a 45-year-old immobile quarterback, that's a very good thing.
You know, one thing, Lee, that it flies under the radar, but it's a very, very big part of this preseason. Kicking. So I think Suckup's got a leg up, so to speak, as he should.
Warren Sharp's stats in his football preview.
And he's sharp.
Yeah, he is pretty sharp. The Bucs are number one in the NFL in last year, number one in the NFL in one-score games and three-point games. They run defeated.
Undefeated, that's Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, Tampa's first family of Ford, 61 years. Order your vehicle right there today, BillCurryFord.com. Get $500 just to do it, and no deposit, BillCurryFord.com.
Well, part of that is Suckup. If you're hoping to go to the Super Bowl, and I don't think the Bucs are as good as they were 2 years ago. Maybe they will be. I hope they are. But I don't necessarily think they are. You're going to need to win those one-score games. And part of that is Suckup. Now, you could say, well, he doesn't kick 50-yard field goals. Okay, but look at the offense you got. He shouldn't be kicking 50-yard field goals. They should be able to get to the 35-yard line or maybe the 40-yard line. But they should get in closer. So I thought that was interesting.
Lee, you always put it in context about the 12 years that they had the history. That's a part of it, Lee.
Is it should?
It's a part of it.
For whatever reason, this organization, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's a collective group. But they've had a rough, I'll be polite. They've had a rough time.
When Matt Bryant left town, all hell broke loose.
Oh, yeah. Now, who was the guy? He was stupid. He went and played a charity basketball game and blew his Achilles. It was never the same.
Might have been Connor Barth.
It was Connor Barth. Yeah. He was actually okay. And here's another one that's right up your alley, Ivory. You talk about this off. You like to see the Bucs. If need be, you throw the ball up, you're going to draw a penalty. And 3 years ago, Mike Evans was excellent. At one point during the 2019 season, he led the league in drawing flags. This really surprised me. Because usually you think guys like Brady, guys like Evans, guys like Godwin maybe, or Gronkowski. I know Gronk's not here any longer. But they'll get the benefit of the doubt. They'll get the calls from referees. You know the Bucs were bottom of the league, number 32, in opponents getting penalized.
Any kind of penalty?
Any kind of penalty. The Bucs in opponents' penalties.
That may not be a great reflection on the Buck coaching staff either. You know, in creating mismatches and things.
Possibly, but the first thing that jumps out right away, you think Brady's getting the benefit of the... He's not. Remember when Brady got popped in the chops and got bloodied, and he got flagged for arguing?
Yeah.
Well, he's not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's interesting.
Nor is Evans drawing penalties. If you want to blame the NBA, okay, because they protect their stars. Well, name a bigger star than Tom Brady. He's not getting protected by the referees.
And that includes pass interference penalties. Usually you get a penalty, Lee, when you're out of position. You're out of position, you're beat. Mm-hmm. Somebody got you beat.
Somebody gets grabbed.
And you get grabby. And the fact that the Bucs were 32 out of 32, Lee, in generating opposition penalties.
Yes.
They got to work on that because that helps you win games.
Hey, Ira's got a birthday coming up on Thursday. Thursday is Ira's birthday. Reach out to him on Twitter. He loves that stuff. At iKaufman76. At iKaufman76. And another thing he loves is when people use Florida's Elite Restoration when they have a disaster in their home. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Mention Joe Bucks fan or Ira, and you'll get a $500 discount if you go ahead with their service after a free assessment. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com.
Lee, I've got a birthday this week coming up.
You're going to come out here. It's Kermit's
day. I'm going to be here. But Lee, I'm going to talk about another day. And you're reticent to talk about it. But let's talk about it. Because our listeners want to hear it. 14 years, Joe Bucks fan. 14 years. You've been through it all, Lee. You start out with an idea between you and Steve. You don't know if this thing's going to work. Is it viable? Is it economical? Are we going to make any money? Are we going to be out of business in 6 months? And Lee, let's be honest. The traditional media at that point, way back when, they didn't embrace you with open arms.
They still don't.
And they still don't.
Locally.
Talk about the arc of Joe Buck's fan and where things are right now.
Well, I can say when Steve and I started this, he disputes how the information he came up with that said we were actually going to do a Rays site because we thought that Vince DiMoli was getting one of the greatest passes in the history of sports journalism. And we couldn't believe it. Steve, he was working for the Tribune at the time, and he went to one of these egghead meetings. Like, you know, Steve came across the traffic figures on TBO that the Bucks traffic was like head and shoulders above anything else. And I mean anything else. The Tribune could have ran a six-part special on Jeb Bush, and still the Bucks get more traffic, and still the eggheads were upset. We got to pour more money in the news because nobody's reading news. Well, duh, you pour more money in the Bucks because that's what people are reading. It's common business 101. As the great
Giancana?
Sam Giancana. As the great Sam Giancana said, we give people what they want. And that's all you need to know.
He's talking about booze, right? Yeah.
Booze, among other things. Booze, poker, women.
Yeah, that's right.
We give people what they want. Well, the Tribune wasn't giving people what they wanted. They wanted more Bucks coverage, and yet they'd throw money in the news, and then they'd start doing cartwheels
and
stomp.
They're doing the city council meetings
over
there.
Yeah, and people couldn't understand why. Well, duh. So anyway, I remember when Steve decided to go, he comes up and he goes, all right, let's do it. It just came out of the blue. He walks up to me and goes, all right, let's do it. And I remember saying, I'm going to say this, I hope it's not too loud, because the mower's behind us. I remember telling Steve, we got to be like Phil Mushnick. If we write AP style, we're dead in the water. And Steve agreed with me. Phil Mushnick is an outrageous columnist for the New York Post.
A cervic?
All kinds of adjectives fit him. He doesn't give a damn what people think. He writes what he thinks. He's very emotional. And it's almost like, I don't know how he comes up with the energy to write these columns a couple times a week.
And there's no sacred cows with him.
But he's like no holds barred. That's the best way I can say. No holds barred. And I told Steve, we got to be like Phil Mushnick. Because if you're a cheerleader, you have no credibility. You have no honesty. We got to call it out. I remember the very first time I wrote a sports story. And my editor, way back then, I was in college at the time. He told me, if it sucks, say it sucks. If it's good, say it's good. Don't be scared. And I think those were words to live by as a sports reporter.
Lee, in your mind, and Steve might have something different, but in your mind, what was the turning point for Joe Buck's fan that you said, we're going to make it?
Well, I can tell you a sign that we had that I think we were onto something. It was the night Chucky got fired. And at the time, I had access to all the traffic.
I believe that was a Friday night.
It was a Friday night, 4 to 5, right around 5 o'clock. So I remember listening to Dumig live, and Whitney Johnson broke in because we got some major Bucks news. But I remember that night, I had to cover a basketball game. Night Chucky got fired. I was still, with the Trib. I had to cover a basketball game that night, and I got home, and I started writing. Well, anyway, at the time, I don't do it anymore because it drives me bananas. You can't really control traffic. And, who's coming, how many people. And that used to drive me wild. And then finally, I just cold turkeyed it. I had, at the time, access to the traffic, who was coming when, down to the second. And I saw we had, like, in between the time Chucky got fired to midnight, something like 8,000 people came to our site. And hardly anybody knew us. We weren't even a year old. And I said to myself, we're on to something. If 8,000 people came within a 6 to 7 hour period to read our stuff, nah. But when that happened, the 8,000 people, I knew we were on to something. This is always funny to me. It's funny to other people, especially people in the Bucks, because the Bucks read this site. And this fascinates them, that when the Bucks win, comments on stories are down. Win is good. People aren't mad. But when they lose, the comments go bananas because people are PO'd. And that fascinates them to no end. And so the moral of the story is to these guys, don't lose. Don't like things written about you don't like? Don't lose. Everybody's happy when he wins. About where JoeBucksFan.com is currently, Steve and I never dreamt it would be this big.
You know, Lee, here's an interesting part of Joe Bucks Fan too, and you know this. There are people in this, in our industry, and I think of an Alex Marvez, but there's others. Because I've talked to Marvez about it. He goes, that's an unbelievable site. It's unbelievable what those guys do. If you're a Buck fan, that's got to be your place. And Marvez has been around, so
yeah.
God bless him. He's a big fan.
That's humbling to hear. And what's humbling, and I'll end it with this. Not a day goes by that I don't appreciate our readers. Because without them, I'm selling insurance. I'm teaching history. I'm not doing what I love to do. And not a day goes by that I don't appreciate our readers, the fans who comment, the fans who don't comment,
our
the haters.
The listeners.
Yeah, your listeners every day. And I appreciate your help. Someone on it with the comments earlier this week They said, never thought Ira and Derek Brooks would be regular contributors to JoeBucksFan.com. But I guess that's how far we've come. And I still think of myself as a schmuck from the cornfields of Illinois. I'm not a cocky guy. I'm not a headstrong guy. I don't think I am. I certainly don't think I have it made. And that might be part of our success. Steve and I continue to grind. We don't consider anything guaranteed. And I always appreciate our readers.
I'm trying to picture you selling insurance at the Kemper. That's an image I can only dream about over there, Lee, is you sitting across from a client. Now, Mr. Jones, do you have a living will? Let's leave it at that.